Ladies and gentlemen.
System loading.
The Kelly Mano Show.
We're on a mission from God.
Is on the air.
Is on the air.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Radio signal from another world.
In three.
What would you be waiting for?
Two, one.
Oh, I want to say good morning, but it's not morning. It is evening. What is today?
Wednesday.
The what?
November?
I'm so lost. I'm so confused. So we had to hold an emergency Kelly Mano show.
Emergency.
Say a very special episode.
A very special episode, like Blossom. So I'm here with my husband, Jimmy, who's turning my microphone down. Am I loud?
You're louder than everybody else.
Well,
so what we're going to do is we're going to turn you down and then turn everybody combined up.
Okay. And so I'm here with my bestie, Donna.
Hi.
And my other bestie, my favorite Bigfoot, Hoss.
What up?
And producer Gary is behind the periscope today.
Hi.
And so, yeah, raise your hand if you looked like an asshole on national television last night.
Last night? No.
Not last night. Was I the only one?
No, I also looked like an asshole on TV last night.
Oh, you definitely did.
Yeah.
You just look like a scheming person, and that's okay.
Yeah, you were pretty much enjoying this.
I enjoyed it.
Somebody's punching bag.
Yes.
Yes. I did get the crap beat out of me.
So for anybody who didn't know, I was a contestant last night on...
Is that what we're calling it now? A contestant?
Am I a contestant?
Victim?
And, oh, look, there's the sign up there. NBC's Best Time Ever with Neil Patrick Harris, who is adorable, by the way.
Totes McGoats.
Totally adorable. So Facebook, it's obviously a buzz today. And... Instagram and my email. So when I was on the show, they make you turn your phone completely off. And when I turned it back on after the show, just in that like hour I was there, I had 77 text messages. And so I just got overwhelmed and turned my phone off and went to bed and woke up and I had 44 more. So just nice. In one overnight, it was like, what, 115, I think?
That's just text. That has nothing to do with any social media.
My email was over 1,000, and a lot of those are Facebook notifications. But
So
I think that the first thing that people want to know is... how did I end up on that show? How did we get there? Hoss, what was it like for you? Because did you know that this was coming?
I had an idea.
Right.
Jimmy talked to me, I guess, 2 weeks ago, the last time I was on the show.
Yeah.
And kind of gave me the heads up of, hey, this is what potentially could be happening.
Right.
So once I saw, I guess it was Monday night that you guys were in New York, I was like, yep, it's going down.
All right.
And so, I was prepared for it.
And so did you watch this at home with like a bowl of popcorn? Did you know I was going to get roasted, or did you have no idea what was going to happen?
I didn't know exactly what they were going to do. Jimmy had said that they were looking for funny things about you that might be in the back of the closet.
Oh, yeah.
But I actually had to watch it this morning because I went to the hockey game last night.
Oh, yeah.
And I came home to news that my DVR is broken, but thank God for On Demand.
Yeah, there you go.
Awesome. Now, Donna, Miss Innocent, Sweet, Doe-Eyed Donna, knows a lot about this because Donna has been helping my husband a little bit plan this over the last... What, since April?
Yeah, at least April. Yeah.
How did you keep this a secret from me? Because we would talk about this all the time.
I'm that good.
Donna's have you heard from that television show? I'm like, yeah, you know, I think they're just, they didn't pick us or something. And Donna just played it off. And
so you had no idea, no thoughts, no, I mean, from me when we would talk.
I didn't know you knew. Did you know that I knew you knew?
You knew.
I know. I'm trying to make it like a Friends episode.
Okay.
When Joey's like, do they know that
they
we know that I know?
That he knows.
This all started in April when my Aunt Jackie posted on my Facebook wall that NBC had a show coming to town called Who Knows Who. And they were doing this big cattle call audition, which a lot of times I would ignore, but it was a pop culture game show. And that is my wheelhouse. I mean, I used to get paid to know who Britney Spears was dating. So I thought this was a great idea. And at the same time, I knew instantly that I wanted Donna and her husband, Chris, to come with us.
Well, I think I actually saw it on your Facebook wall and I was like, that sounds so much fun. Are you interested in doing it? And it was like a rush to do it because I think that the audition was like 2 days.
Oh, we had no notice.
I mean, we were like picking out T-shirts, picking out names for our team. I mean, we were we were stoked. We were prepared. We were right. probably the best people to have auditioned. We thought we had it in the bag once we got there.
Let's back up to the fact that they were looking for groups.
Yeah.
Really? They were looking for groups of what it was like
two to five people that know pop culture.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they said it could be family members, it could be work colleagues, it could be all this stuff. So here we are, two couples, and we happen to be friends, and we hang out. So there was four of us, and we went in as a group.
And a lot of people saw these pictures on social media.
Right.
We were all wearing like black T-shirts with like funny Italian sayings.
They gave us the idea that they wanted us to be very dynamic, really play things up, and we did it. We delivered.
We killed it.
We had a team chant, too.
Yeah.
What was it?
Oh, gosh. I don't remember. It was a cheerleading something. Our team is red hot. Our team is red hot.
Something like that.
I have the short-term memory of Dory from Finding Nemo.
It was your idea.
I'm not surprised. And so we go on and we kill it. We're better than every team there. And they give us a call back immediately. Well, first they sit us down and they have us sign like 20 pages of paperwork.
Right.
So little did I know that at that time was when I was actually signing my life away for the show.
And she's crabbing the whole way. Like, I am not doing this. I'm not doing this.
It was so much to fill out. I was so overwhelmed. By the end of it, I'm like drawing like perverted pictures for my name.
Yeah, that was what they were calling the short form, right? Because they still had the long form.
Short form, yeah.
So then the next day, we got another call back. Hey, my mic is not connected. Can you guys hear that?
Oh, no, I can hear you. Am I okay?
All right. So the next day, they had us come back again. All four of us. We went to a hotel. They did these big interviews. They interviewed us one at a time, all four at a time.
We felt really good about it, too. I mean, because we went in there. We had given them, gooey butter cake the day before.
Yes.
We talked to them.
We warmed up Zach.
Mm-hmm. Zach said, you know, you guys are good. Just show up. Just do X, Y, and Z. It'll be no problem.
And
they were confident.
They were having us do crazy things. Like, he'd be like, so what did you have for breakfast? And I'd be like, oh, eggs. He'd be like, now act like you won $1 million right now. And you'd have to like lose your mind. And then in one of them, I'm up there and I'm like, he's like, so, you know, where'd you go to high school? And I'm like, oh, Granite City. And he's like, okay, now sing. And I'm like, okay.
What did you sing? I can't remember.
I sang Janis Joplin, Bobby McGee, because it was in the morning. And I'm like, at least I'm supposed to sound like this. And so that is all over with. And we think that, you know, okay, we're totally going to get picked. Couple days go by.
Yep. So they said, send in photos.
Yes.
Remember, that was the big conspiracy because it was the photos.
Yeah.
Send in photos, send them in now.
Right.
And Kelly and Jimmy sent their photos in like ASAP. And I waited like 24 hours. So I thought that's where things started to like fall apart because we didn't send our photos in for our couple, but Jimmy and Kelly sent their photos in right away.
Right.
After that, that's when you guys started getting picked up for little video interviews via Skype, and they kind of dropped us.
Yeah, well, so the next thing I knew, they wanted an interview with just me and Jimmy. And so I called Donna. I'm like, did they call you? And she's like, no. I'm like, this is so weird.
Yeah.
Because if it's a pop culture game show and this is what they're looking for, like Donna and Chris were like the most amazing teammates we could have ever asked for. And I'm like, you know what? I said, Donna, I bet they like lost part of our audition or something. There's any number of reasons that they could be interviewing us again. Little did we know, there was no game show called Who Knows Who.
Right? Nope. It's just all a ruse.
There never was.
Never.
Never was. And so.
And they would have gotten away with it if it weren't for those meddling kids.
Pesky kids.
Right. Yeah. Professor Chalmers.
That went right over my head.
We're dorks.
What is that?
It's Scooby-Doo.
Oh my God, I was busy watching Saved by the Bell and real shows. So that was in April. And, you know, jumping ahead a little bit, I think Jimmy and I did a total of like 6 or 7 interviews with NBC. And every time we did an interview, they would never give us like any definite answer on when we would hear from them again. It would be like,
I want you to tell that part
where you were business.
Yeah, exactly. But there was a part where you talked to Zach.
Oh, where eventually, he disappeared on the screen?
The Mission Impossible.
Yes. So I'm talking to Zach on my laptop, one of the casting directors, and he's making Jimmy and I interview separately. And so I made Jimmy actually leave the house. And I started picking up on that nobody had asked me any questions about pop culture. Nobody had asked me about Justin Bieber. Nobody had asked me about the Kardashians. But they were asking me things like, does your mom get along with your husband? And tell me what you and Jimmy's last fight was about. And so I'm talking to Zach on my laptop. And the interview is over. And I said, look, Zach, I said, off the record, I said, am I still being interviewed for a pop culture game show? And he like tipped back in his chair and he started laughing and he had like a pen in his mouth. And, you know, he's Mr. like charming casting director. Right. And he's like, whoa. And he said, Kelly, you are television gold. If not for this show, for another show. And then he hit a button and like Inspector Gadget, he went and disappeared from my screen.
Nice.
And then I had to go pick up my kids from school. I'm like, okay, so that was in May.
Yeah.
That was in May.
Yeah, and we continue to not hear anything.
Oh, yeah. In fact, 20 days after the interview you're talking about, it went 20 days, we didn't hear a word. You and I made a special video for Zach.
Right, right.
That I just watched again, where we were asking him for more information.
Right.
Kelly and I made a very funny video trying to just remind Zach and the casting department that we're fun folks for TV.
Yeah, well, it worked because let's go ahead and go to the phone call that I got last week, and then we're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and we are going to share segment one from last night and talk about that. I see a finger.
Well, the only thing I wanted to talk about is where they started to rope me in. So,
oh, yeah, because I know none of this.
Yeah,
so
you're skipping everything.
Yeah, we're skipping way okay. ahead.
Was there ever really any doubt that you were going to be on this show, though?
Not in my mind.
Well, you got to understand, at this point, this show was not in any of our minds. It was all about this game show.
You're the Manos. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
At one point, Donna sent me a screenshot of the Neil Patrick Harris floating on the crowd. And she said, I bet you're being interviewed for this show. And I said, no, I'm not. Because when we interviewed for Who Knows Who, they were casting for that show at the same time. They were right underneath one another. And I said, why would they cast for that show and then do a secret casting for it?
Right.
So as soon as I saw that, I completely put that show out of my mind.
Right out of your mind.
Because
that's
and that's why I never thought I was going on that show.
Right.
And so I get a phone call Thursday, from a casting director in New York, who says, hi, my name is Michael, and listen, I got to talk to you. He said, I'm in a bind. I need a family for this television show. It's like a mid-season replacement show, and it focuses on fun families, and I know we didn't use you for that other show, but we want you for this one. Can you be in New York on Monday? And I'm like,
and what day was that again?
Like Thursday.
Yeah, it was like 4 days.
And so I called Jimmy. I'm like, hey, do you want to do this? And I was kind of hesitant because I'm like, look, I said, you guys drug me through the summer through 7 auditions.
So they're pitching you for essentially a reality show for your family.
Well, I told them I wouldn't do a reality show. They said that it was like every episode was a different family.
Okay.
So like Wife Swap, but that would not be the plot.
Right.
But because
an individual one-time reality.
And I said, well, what's the name of this show? And he said, it's a
None of your business.
He said it's a working title. And I'm like, that's fine, but I'm not going on Naked and Afraid. So if you think that I'm going to come to New York and just go on whatever show you put me on, you've got the wrong girl.
Right.
You know, and so little did I know that behind the scenes, things had been going on for months.
Well, plus, he wasn't even trying to get you to come to New York to be on the show. The idea was that we were going to go to New York and interview.
He said, you're meeting with the executive producers. This is the final step. He's like, you Manos are a done deal to be on the show. We just need to get you in person on camera. So he said, I need you in New York on Tuesday for an on-camera interview with NBC executives. And, you know, off I went on an airplane. Bowmeister scored. Woo!
Awesome. That makes up for the one he screened.
All right. Sorry. The Blues game's on at the same time.
So backing up to that, I mean, there's so much that I'm assuming you don't know
because I don't know
what Jimmy told you or what he...
Okay. Let's go to break because, you know, Donna is one of my closest friends and one of the main confidants throughout all of this. And when I walked off stage last night at NBC, the first person I wanted to talk to was Donna, but the last person I wanted to talk to was Donna because I knew that she knew everything. And I'm like, you know what? I'm like, we just need to do a radio show. So I have avoided Donna for the last 24 hours. So we are going to, let me see. We're going to go to break here in just a minute. And producer Gary, how are your arms doing over there?
Well, you know, I'm getting my good workout today.
You're getting a good workout in. So we're going to go to break. We're going to come back. We'll talk a little bit about Donna's role in this.
And then really, at some point, Donna kind of handed it off to me. Or she didn't. It just, there was a natural progression from Donna to me.
Right, because apparently they tried to hit up some of my other friends who are very flaky. and don't have
They're
a
lovely
lot.
People.
Well, here's the problem when you're digging for high school dirt on me and my friends and you want pictures and I'm the one who has
you
it all.
Did it. Right. Are we going to break or are we still
no,
talking
No, we're
about
going
this?
To break. Okay. I just start gapping and then I can't stop. So, it is the Kelly Mano Radio Show Periscope. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. So swipe down and hit stop. And enjoy some Tony. It is the Kelly Mano Show. We'll be right back.
The Kelly Mano Show. The princess of the 90s is now the queen of the minivan carpool. It's the Kelly Mano Show.
The Kelly Mano Show is proudly brought to you by Rachel Witt at RE/MAX. The Manos are moving. We have had a great time hanging out with Rachel Witt. We met her at a open house earlier this year and fell in love with her. Personality is such an important part of having a real estate agent. And let's face it, a lot of people like us are upside down on their house right now, and they just think that now is not a time to get out of your home. You're wrong. Rachel can help you. She can walk you through all of that. She is teaching us things that we didn't even know about the mortgage business. So if you are selling a home with Rachel, she doesn't just do photos. She doesn't just do slideshows. She does these amazing walkthrough videos of your house. She doesn't know it yet, but the Manos are going to do ours like MTV Cribs. And I'm so excited.
Well,
so
if she doesn't know, she does now.
So yeah, if you are interested in buying or selling your home, please, please, please reach out to Rachel Witt. Her phone number is 636-720-3836, or you can visit her website, www.homesalesinstcharles.com. Producer Gary, quit dancing. You're shaking the periscope. I see him over there.
Shaking your booty.
What you see,
do you think you can? Do you think you can do me?
All right, so it is the Kelly Mano Radio Show. We are looking at part two of me making an a-hole of myself on television. Last night on national television, not just like regular television.
But it was fun, right?
Maybe it'll be blacked out locally.
Yeah.
we can only. Shut up! Listen, when you're making a joke, you have to stare at me just like that until I get it, because then I know what you're doing.
Oh,
we'll get to that in a minute. Okay, so I feel like Jimmy and Donna give me the short version of what went on behind the scenes leading up to me getting the phone call.
So we talked about the fact that I told you maybe you're going to be on the show. And then I put my foot in my mouth like a day later, because that's when the producers called me.
Oh my gosh.
And they're like, so we're calling about, you know, what was the show called before?
Who knows who?
And I'm like, yeah, all excited. Like, couldn't wait.
Right.
And then he's like, that show doesn't exist. It never existed. I am here to talk to you about Kelly Mano.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
That is crazy that they would pull such a ruse?
Ruse. Yeah. Yes. I'm still perplexed by how intricate they do that. Like,
right.
Why?
I guess they really wanted it to be a surprise, and it worked.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I am not an easy person to surprise.
So my heart sank for half a second, and then when he said he wanted to talk about you, I said, bring it on.
That's because we're besties.
Yeah, I can tell you everything you need to know. And so I was so excited. So what he did was he's like, give me all the dirt that you got. And I'm like, what kind of dirt? You know, what is it that you're looking for?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm sure that a little bit has been alluded to this, but anything funny, anything interesting.
Right.
And I, you know, I was trying my best, because I love Kelly so much, I was trying my best to steer her toward the big bucks. I said, you better give her some money, because that's what she's looking for.
Oh,
she wants to be rolling in cold hard cash, $1 million.
Yes.
And he was just cracking up the whole way.
Uh-huh.
He had me stalk your Twitter feed. He said, I can't do it, so can you send me 1,000 screenshots of her Twitter?
My Twitter is so boring.
It is so boring. It was
I do nothing
boring.
On Twitter. Yeah, why would they do that?
And so I'm like, I promise you there's nothing on Twitter. And he's like, can you send me screenshots because I don't want to friend her on Twitter because she's going to know. Like little things like that. That's how
so
it
you
started.
Had to stalk like your best friend. How awkward.
Yeah. And so there were times where I would lie to her and I'd say, hey, can I borrow that lens because I wanted to get into your house. There were times where I knew you were out of town.
Oh my
gosh. Do you even remember this?
Yes.
And so I said, can I borrow that lens? And I knew you were out of town. I'm like, is there any way I can get in there and get into your house?
Yes.
And you're like, oh, well.
That was a really crappy lens to borrow. I'm like, why does she want this one so bad?
I know. It was horrible. It was the only lens I knew you knew I didn't have.
Yeah.
And you were okay with kind of giving it up.
So did you steal something from my house?
That's your underwear and your,
yeah,
your
I
medication.
I have your diary.
Oh my God. Why do you
I
have
your
diary?
How have you not known your diary was missing
well,
for
the
last
best,
few months?
Yeah.
Because it's from sixth
it's
grade.
It's sixth grade diary. God. And I've had this in a fireproof safe for the last, 6 months because I'm so worried that my house is going to burn down and the only thing I'm worried about is Kelly's stupid sixth grade diary. Yeah.
Where I talk about Corey Kessler for 25 pages and
he
didn't even know who I was.
And all the girls that
I was mad
at.
My
bubble hearts are in that diary.
Oh, yeah. Well, I actually, every month I would rate the boys in my class.
So here's the thing. They said, we can't let Jimmy know. Nobody can know.
Right.
I got to get into your house. And the first thing I did was, Jimmy, I need your help.
We're sneaky.
Because I could not do it on my own. I wanted to get
you
the best dirt.
You wouldn't even know where to look.
No, yeah. And so we had covert operations going. I mean, Kelly, every time that we were all together, the four of us, there'd be times where I felt like I was in a spy movie where he's talking to me over my shoulder and I'm pretending to mess with my hair and I'm like, and we're talking about little things like what the producer said. And then you'd show up and then he'd walk away.
Well, do you remember me telling you the story? So I was talking to Donna. I'm like, something is going on in my house because I went downstairs and all my Spice Girl dolls were moved. And they were sitting on top of this tub. And I'm like, who would have gotten out my Spice Girl dolls? They weren't where I left them. And I asked Jimmy and he's like, nope, didn't touch them. And I knew that the kids didn't because they're scared of that room down there.
Right.
And I'm like, who? So one
Is
of
that
you.
Where your diary was?
Yeah. Okay. One of you had to have been rummaging down there and moved some things from my childhood, which I protect the Holy Grail.
Childhood?
Yeah, well, my high school days.
So Kelly threw me a baby shower a while ago.
Uh-huh.
And when she did this, she was texting with my husband. And every time she finished a text with him, she'd say, delete these texts.
Yes.
This never happened.
Right.
And so that's basically how Jimmy and I would communicate. So he, we'd be text, delete these texts.
Inspector Gadget, this will self-destruct.
Nice. So he would drop stuff off at the salon and then we'd send it off. They insured that stupid diary for $200 to send it overnight, photocopy it, and then send it back.
Oh my gosh.
Isn't that funny?
Oh yeah. There was times that I had our kids in the car and I'd say, hey, we're gonna go meet mommy's friend Donna at her work.
I'm surprised they didn't tell me that you guys are having an affair or something.
No, I said, you guys have to stay in the car and you cannot tell mommy that I'm visiting Donna, okay?
Oh.
Who knows what they were thinking?
I just had a off subject a little bit. I just totally had a paying my dues showbiz industry flashback when you were saying that someone overnighted and had a photocopy that diary. That poor intern.
Yes.
I have been that person
yes.
who had to do... You don't need to ask why. Here's someone's sixth grade diary. Go photocopy every page and then scan it into a hard drive.
Well, and I tried to save them the trouble. I took pictures of it with my phone. I'm like, will this work? He's like, no, we have to have it. And he goes, spare no expense. So you know that I'm thinking, when this happens, I'm getting on a plane with Kelly because they spare no expense.
Right. And not to mention, dude, the kids are in trouble because if they're not telling me about daddy's secret meetings with Donna, then I need to brief my kids on their loyalty to mommy. But okay, so I'm glad that that didn't happen.
There's a lot of toys coming in the near future as well.
Yeah, from daddy, not from me. So I get to the show on, or no, so we get to New York on.
No. You're skipping over way too much.
What?
Okay, so then I helped Donna a little bit. But then, and Donna, and I think, Donna, did you give them the names of some of Kelly's friends, right?
So, Tracy
mm-hmm.
and Julie, I said, you guys need, I told Scott was the producer's
mm-hmm.
name. I said, you need to.
Met Scott.
You met Scott.
Uh-huh, he's great.
Oh, okay.
He's great.
He Kelly, he loves you. He loves everything that you
I know.
He loves the story about the kids and the ice cream truck and how you would tell the kids that when the ice cream truck goes by and plays music, that means they're out of ice cream, but they want to play nice music for you. Love that story.
So Neil Patrick Harris himself, we're leaving the show last night, and I'm like, there's Neil. And so we got our picture taken with him. We gave him a hug, and he's like, Kelly, he's like, you have been the most intriguing guest we've ever had. He said, we had so much dirt on you that we didn't even know where to begin. I'm like, oh, that's wonderful. I'm like such a big liar that they didn't know where to start.
It wasn't even about the lies. It was just about the great stories.
Well, it's not lying if you're doing it to benefit yourself. That's called hustling. Okay?
It's all about
that. And
hustle.
I was born to do that. It's not like I'm lying to hurt people. And so can we get to the show yet, or do you have more to add?
I think there's important stuff to add.
Okay,
so then at this point, Scott, the producer that Donna's talking about, started communicating with me directly. He said, I never wanted to bring you in. I wanted this to all be a surprise to you as well. But we're trying to get information about Kelly's childhood and teenage years, and we're trying to get stuff from this friend and this friend, and they don't have access to the stuff that they need.
Because I owned it all.
Well, you owned it all, plus they all live across the country, mm-hmm. so it's not like it's at their easy disposal. So he has me digging up more stuff. So this whole thing with the Michelle Kwan picture.
Which I am defending myself to that the minute we get to that topic.
Well, here's the thing. Your entire scrapbook from your trip to Lake Arrowhead.
You had to look through all that stuff.
I had to ship
it. How boring.
I had to ship it all to him. I had to ship this guy many things. So he's got your scrapbooks.
Is it all back where I have it?
Actually, I had to ship it to him a second time. So he has it right now.
I want it back.
Yeah, he's going to give it back.
It's important stuff.
It's NBC. They have the money.
Yeah, I know. Oh, yeah. They insured that diary for I don't know how much.
Hysterical.
Isn't that funny?
I even found a younger diary than that one.
Yeah, the blue jean one.
The blue jean one. I sent them that. And that lock was broke. We didn't have a key for it. So I may have destroyed the lock to open that book.
Did you cut the cover off that one?
I don't...
Because there's one diary downstairs. It looked like somebody cut like off the seam and then taped it. And I'm like...
No, I didn't do that one.
Okay, so then locks. Okay, so...
Anyhow, listen. They had so much material because I gave them everything I knew about you.
Yeah.
I talked to a handful of your friends and I got as much dirt. Everything from how you were... constantly kicked off the Palm Squad.
Two times.
Let's see.
Three?
Oh, I gave them a wonderful nugget about you cheating on your test.
Which they used.
They used that. Mm-hmm. And the Michelle Kwan stuff.
Yes.
There was you stalking Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Yes.
There was you stalking Gwen Stefani. A lot of
That's
stalking.
That's the thing. A lot of the things, they wanted to know who's your favorite celebrities. I mean, and they'd say, we think we have new kids on board. We think we have Gwen Stefani. Maybe, you know.
Don't they have The Voice also?
They do.
How did they not get Mel B?
Or Gwen Stefani?
Yeah, I mean, really, I mean...
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
What they told me last night was, Jimmy, Kelly is like Lazarus.
What's that? Oh, I know.
Okay, so anyway, your story came back from the dead several times, okay?
Okay.
Because every good idea they had for you... would fall through, and then they would have to think of how else to find another story for you. They had an awesome scenario worked out potentially for New Kids on the Block that I was so excited for. You would have lost it.
Yeah. I don't even want to know because knowing that I was that close to the New Kids on the Block that it was even considered like would make me want to cry.
Yeah. Well, no, it was.
I've driven Jordan and Donnie around in my car.
Oh.
Did they make you take them to Waffle House?
Listen,
no.
When the Backstreet Boys
to a radio station.
When the Backstreet Boys came out last night on the show, I was crying real tears, and they're like my third favorite band. So if they would have brought out like Spice Girls or Gwen Stefani, I would have had like a Michael Jackson level meltdown, right there in their studio. But okay. Can we come back and get to the show then? Because what I want to do is I want to play the three segments, kind of talk about them.
Well, and then I also do want to mention very quickly that last week I was in New York for work, and they tried to take advantage of that opportunity of having me in town.
Already.
Yes. So they sent over for a car. They picked me up at my hotel, and they took me to their studios.
Did you really have to be in New York that long?
I really did have to be. In fact, it was actually very, very hard for me to squeeze this in.
Yeah.
So they brought me over to the studio for a couple of hours, put me in front of a green screen, interviewed me, and all of these clips were supposed to be on the air last night.
Right. They ran out of time or something.
They ran out of time and they changed the format. But they had me saying all these hilarious things about you.
I can imagine.
You know, talking about, you know, Donna brought up this ice cream story. So, yeah, you actually would tell our children that the ice cream truck...
When he plays music,
that means he is out of ice cream.
Yes, so that ice cream is disgusting and overpriced, and they could choke on the gumballs.
If you hear the ice cream truck, that means they're out of ice cream.
But they're playing music for the little children.
They're playing music for the little children to keep them
isn't
happy.
Isn't that nice?
All right, so basically, they were going to create this reenactment of these children running after an ice cream truck, like Dateline style, and then... I had the voiceover on this where I was going to have to say, do you believe this woman? My wife would do. How did I marry this woman? So they had me saying all this great stuff, and they ended up changing the format at the last minute. But
too much, Kelly.
That's what
not
they
enough
said.
TV. Real, there was not enough time.
You know what? That's perfect. Too much, Kelly, not enough TV. They had way too much. I mean, and that's what every producer said, because... As soon as we wrapped, they rushed us back to this like cast party where you would have thought I was a celebrity.
I believe it.
I mean, every producer was like, "We know everything about you." And we walk in, everybody's like, "Hey, Jimmy!" And he's like hugging these people like he's known him. I'm like,
"That's
who
awesome.
Are these people?"
That's awesome.
Oh, she's like, "Oh, Amy, I talked to you for an hour last week. Oh, hey, Scotty, I interviewed with you last week." Yeah,
and I'm living vicariously through that because I was watching NPH run through and do his like last minute like dance thing.
Show.
End of the show, and I'm like, is that Scott? Because I had talked to him, and I had helped out with all these stories.
Yeah.
And I just loved the idea, but I still felt slightly disappointed because there were so many great things they had thought
of. That they didn't get to.
That they never got to.
Yeah, well, you know, okay, so we've got the backstory, I think.
Yes.
Now we do.
Yeah, we got
so it. Let's come back. So now you guys know the extent that NBC went to pull this off. Because everybody's like, Kelly, how did you not know? Give me a break.
And it was unreal.
Yeah. So the lengths that they went to, from having friends break into my house and things like that, to having me on the season finale of this show, just crazy. So next, I'm going to tell you how they actually got me in the audience, which is interesting in itself. So
I can't wait.
We'll be right back. It is the Kelly Mano Radio Show.
The Kelly Mano Show. You want to take a break? Sassy, classy, and a little smartassy. Okay, the classy part might be a stretch. It's the Kelly Mano Show.
This is not my live. This is my wedding itinerary for Saturday.
Nice.
So, as much as you'd love to hear about Katie and Brett's wedding, that is not what I'm advertising right now. We are talking about JM Motors in Granite City, Illinois, my hometown that is just so proud of me for making an a-hole of myself on national television. JM Motors has been around in Granite City for over 45 years. I know the family personally. Jerry opened it 45 years ago. His kiddo has been playing hockey with Rocky for a couple years now, and nobody can match the service that he gives. His salesmen are seasoned. They've both been there over 10 years. They know their inventory. They know their business. They know their boss, and they can put you in the best vehicle for you. Whether you have good credit or no credit, they are there to help. The amount of repeat customers they have speaks for itself. It is so important to support small business today. And that is why I would love for you to swing by JM Motors, just 10 minutes from the Arch, located at 2310 Namioke Road in Granite City, Illinois. That is JM Motors at 2310 Namioke Road in Granite City, Illinois. All right, so we're ready to talk about the show.
Yes, the show.
So for those of you who are watching, which is everybody here in the room, I forgot to turn Periscope back on. Will you turn it back on and just hand it to me? And I'll set it right there. So Jimmy and I get to New York, and here, let me hand it to Jimmy.
Will you start Periscope?
Yeah.
So Jimmy and I get to New York, and we get in Monday night late. We get up on Tuesday morning, and we fart around the city.
Are you a little frustrated at this point because you didn't get to bring your kids? Are you cool with it? How do you feel about that?
Well, because there was a time when I thought the kids were coming, And then they called me back and said, we don't need the kids. And that was really hard for me because I am not a mom who leaves her kids easy.
You never travel without your kids.
I don't want to say anything bad about parents who do. I wish I could be one of those moms that goes to the Bahamas for 7 days and doesn't think anything of it.
Right.
But I'm just not wired that way.
No, you're not.
So we are a team. We are a unit. We are Team Mana. We do everything together. We bring the kids everywhere we go.
I know. The times you've had weddings, it's like you just want to get back home even though you're enjoying your bride and groom.
Right.
You just can't
right.
wait.
And so it was hard. And I'm a terrible flyer. I don't enjoy flying. And when we got to the airport and I said goodbye to my kids, I was crying so hard that Jimmy got really mad at me because I'm in Lambert Airport and I am just crying my eyes out going to the plane.
No, she looks absolutely pitiful. Okay. She is bawling her eyes out. Oh, what the hell just happened?
Mood.
I don't know. I tried to switch the camera.
Well, no. Yeah. Gary.
Gary, turn the lights off.
All right. She's crying her eyes out. She looks pathetic. She's walking slow. I'm trying to get her to keep up with me. And some lady in the airport walks kind of like right in front of us, 5 feet in front of us. And she says to me, she makes a sad face, like a pouty face with her mouth, and she says, I am so sorry. Like someone died. She was convinced somebody died. And I wanted to say, no, lady, we are leaving our kids for 24 hours and taking a free trip to New York. My wife should not be bawling her eyes out right now.
Yeah, so I'm walking through airport crying. So once I got to New York, I realized that the producers were absolutely right. That was not a time or a place to bring the kids. And so Tuesday comes, and we're supposed to have this big interview with NBC at 4:30, they were supposed to pick us up.
They were supposed to pick us up at 4:30 and take us to a 5 o'clock meeting at 30 Rock.
Correct. And I'm hyped, okay? Because just like any like performance or anything else, I'm like ready to go at 4:30. And then we get a call that says, hey, it's going to be a little bit longer. So they push it back, what, like an hour?
Yeah, they said the car was going to come at 5. The car came at 5:15.
And then a car finally comes, and they're like, hey, we're not taking you to interview. We're going to take you out for a steak dinner on us.
And I've been texting you this whole time, like, right. What's going on? Yes. How's it going?
So you're furious, even though there's steak involved.
Yes. No.
Oh, okay. So let's talk about the steak for a second. First of all, they said that the executives that we were supposed to meet with, now keep in mind, I'm aware of what's going on every step of the way.
You know what's up.
I know what's up.
Your job is now
To keep Kelly not pissed off, because I'm ready to go. And I've been ready to do this interview for like 2.5 hours. And it's almost like somebody getting ready for like the big game. And then it's like a rain delay.
Right.
And so Jimmy starts making me drink, which I hardly ever do.
So you were responsible for that.
Yes. I was responsible for having a drink. Yes, absolutely.
She goes, I'm having vodka and I have an empty stomach. I'm like,
well, and here's the thing. She did not want to eat anything. I'm like, we are at this nice restaurant with a tremendous looking... Hang on, let me turn you up. You're not loud enough.
I had a Caesar salad, and I had like two of the croutons.
Come on.
So here's the deal. So even though we were supposed to have the meeting in 30 Rock,
right?
They tell us, well, you know what? The executives you need to meet with are at our studio in Queens right now. We need you to go to Queens to meet with them, but it's running late, so we're going to send you to this restaurant. It was called S Steakhouse. I think it was... S Prime.
All right.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So we're at a steakhouse and we're done eating. And at this point, they've sold us for like 3 hours.
What's wrong with you?
I know. I'm sorry. Jimmy, listen, Jimmy made up for the both of us.
When you're at a steakhouse and you're not paying the bill?
Nope.
You eat everything.
I know. I'm shocked.
I ate nothing. And so we're sitting there and we still have not met this producer, okay? So we're sitting there at dinner, and in walks this producer who looks like a Ken Barbie that stepped out of a box, okay?
Right.
Like the tan, like the V-neck jacket and, the chains and the blonde. Like, he looked like a Ken
Slick
Barbie.
Hair.
I'm like, you are adorable. Hi. And he's like, hi, I'm Michael. And he's the producer we've been talking to. And he's like, hey, listen. He's like, I've got good news and bad news. He's like, the bad news is that your interview is going to take a little bit longer. He said, you got to understand, we are wrapping up a season finale and all of the executives are really busy right now. The good news is we can get you tickets to this really fun show while you wait. And I'm like, okay, fine. And it was like within 30 seconds, we were walking out a door, around a corner, and into the Best Time Ever.
Gotcha.
And the show was going live in 5 minutes.
So the restaurant was strategically located.
Oh, yes.
And so at this point, I'm like, what is going on? Because I'm a very perceptive girl. It's hard to
pull. So you're starting to put things together.
So we haven't talked. And during this whole time, we have been texting back
me
and forth,
Donna.
Back and forth. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're showing me your vodka that you're taking.
Yep, yep.
And your nerves and everything.
Yeah.
And then the last text I get from you was, OMFG! Exclamation point! And I'm freaking out.
So what I was trying to do was I walked into the best time, and when I saw the words best time ever, I thought, oh my gosh, am I going to be on this show? So I pick up my phone and I take a picture of the set and I send it. I tried to send it to Donna with OMG. It said, you may have been right. And you got to know, this happened so fast. They whisked us away from that steak dinner, and I was sitting in the audience in a prime spot within like 2 minutes.
Did they pull away your phone?
Yes.
Okay.
They had so many eyes on me. The minute my phone came out, somebody was at my side going, put your phone away. And I'm like, okay. So I put my phone away, and then the show starts, and it's like music, and Neil Patrick Harris is like flying in on like a cannon or a zip line. And I don't know what's going on, but I know I might be involved. I didn't want to think too much of myself, like, oh, I know I'm on the show, but I was thinking maybe. And then out walked the Backstreet Boys, and I'm like, I'm gonna be on the show because I love the Backstreet Boys. And so the Backstreet Boys come out.
So you were hyped then.
Yes. And not only did they came out without Nick. Nick is my favorite Backstreet Boy.
Gotcha.
I used to like make out with the TV when he came on, and I was in college, okay?
And did they ever really explain that?
Well, so they said, where's Nick? And and one of the guys said, oh, he's not here.
He's putting his pants on.
He's putting his pants on something silly. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm like, they're holding Nick backstage for me. And when I come out, that's when Nick is going to come out.
But isn't he on Dancing with the Stars right
but
now?
But I didn't know that. No. And so I'm sitting there. So the Backstreet Boys come out and start singing, and I start crying real tears.
The same kind of tears like when you were leaving your kids in St. Louis and people at the airport think that someone's
died. I cannot believe that I'm here to meet the Backstreet Boys. I'm like, oh, and I'm telling them, I'm like, Tracy and Jody, they're going to die. They love the Backstreet Boys. I'm so excited. And then the Backstreet Boys do their segment, and then poof, they're gone.
Well, that makes it even better for me to keep you like even more surprised.
Yes.
Yeah, you were still clueless.
Oh, if I was here, I was here for the Backstreet Boys.
Yeah.
Okay? But that's not what happened, so I guess we can play this. Here's what happened instead. So the voice you're going to hear here is Neil Patrick Harris.
Where the winners are audience members who take home trophies for things they wish no one knew about, and all the nominees have no idea that they've been nominated. Kelsey Grammer, take it away.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the first annual Best Time Ever Awards. Please welcome your host, Neil Patrick Harris.
This is my favorite part.
It's the Best Time Ever Awards.
He's really cute.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Woo! So, let's kick things off. They say great performances transcend time. Well, this presenter's performance in Men in Black lasted 4 minutes before she was killed. Please welcome the very much alive Nicole Scherzinger.
Yeah, this did not suck.
Your microphone is so loud, you sound creepy.
Turn me down.
Webster's defines deception as the act of making someone believe something that is not true. These nominees have clearly never read that definition. I'm here tonight to present the award for most deceitful celebrity interaction. Our first unsuspecting nominee is Kathy Pearson.
Oh God, I'm turning this lady down.
So, I'm assuming that the first two nominees were plants.
I'm sure they were.
You think they were?
I'm positive they were.
We were trying to decide.
I think so.
Oh, here, you want me to hold that? Because I'm right in front of the screen.
I got you.
You got it?
I got three of those, right? Or they just give you the same one three times?
They took two away. After the show.
That is...
I walked out with my three awards and they took two.
Well, that is some ish.
They had to, insure your diary for $500, so...
Wait till you guys feel how heavy this thing is, though. Go ahead.
Oh, I know.
No.
I...
Here, Haas. Take a hold of that.
And the second nominee is...
That's an arm workout.
I had three of those in my hands.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a workout.
Here, Donna. Well, here, Gary, hold this.
She looks familiar.
Yeah, I
like,
think
I've
she was definitely
her as a
plant.
Bit part in something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they both have the same last name, which
now,
I thought
now, watch my face turn into a pterodactyl when the guy walks up next to me to escort me on stage.
There's something I find odder than that coming up
he
here.
He scared the hell out of me.
Here, turn this up.
No way. There's something that happened before that.
Ooh, girl.
And the third nominee is... Kelly Mano for the Lions.
Wait. Why are you looking around like there's another Kelly Mano
in
the audience?
After Kelly attended the classic game show The Price is Right,
She told what? All of her friends.
Yeah, do you think somebody's
going to
jump?
I couldn't find where Neil was
road.
Talking.
But Kelly was
watch
never
the pterodactyl face.
Down. And to cover up this fib, she told everyone in her hometown that her episode aired during a local blackout. Well played. Nicole?
And the winner for the most deceitful celebrity interaction is... Kelly Mano for The Lion's
Life. Yeah, this charming fellow appears out of nowhere to take you
by
the hand.
Come with me if you want to live.
You look like he's going to murder me.
I love your work.
You're so pretty.
Oh, hey, wait. Before you give your acceptance speech, we have this special video message that's just for you. Here's
by the way, this is effing bad.
Yeah, this is. This is the best part.
Are you kidding me? I watch
I'm
this
sure
every day.
A girl that pretty, I would have remembered her. Kelly Mano? Never heard of her.
Awesome.
How great is that?
Well, Bob
that's
Barker.
Awesome.
Has no idea who you are. Congratulations, Kelly.
Thank you.
You look so great tonight. Who are you wearing?
Like Kmart or something.
Nice. Well done.
I don't know.
Okay, Kelly. Oh, I'm sorry. It's time for your speech.
Thank you. Oh, no. Can I go sit down?
No, okay. Sorry.
All right. So I thought that was the end. I'm like, there. That was my funny part, and I'm done. And where's my check from Kmart?
Hey, real quick.
So,
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
I just wanted to say, when they announced you as a nominee.
Somebody please make that a GIF.
I'm going to make it a GIF tonight.
Where I go from like joy to like sheer horror in 30 seconds.
The picture is all over Facebook.
Seriously. But just
blank face Kelly.
The camera panning and then you didn't know where the hard camera was.
No.
And you happened to turn straight. It was almost like a scene from Debbie Downer when she delivers her line and then she turns and faces the camera. And I'm like, what in the hell?
Well, because I'm looking around because I couldn't figure out where Neil Patrick was and I thought I heard my name, and then when I was listening to what they were doing, so okay, lie number one, guilty as charged. So this lie started when I was working for Steve in DC. A year before, I had gone and lived in LA for a summer, and I went to attend a taping of The Price is Right.
Just opened Facebook. This is the first thing on my feed.
So what was I saying?
Price is Right.
Yeah.
Summer.
And so Bob Barker never called me to come on down or anything like that. But I was,
you were there.
You
have the name tag.
I was there. I made the name tag. They didn't pick me. But when I was working for Steve in DC, I was a little intern who was dying for airtime. Until one day they started talking about The Price is Right. They're like, yeah, talking about people being on the show. And I ran in the studio and was like, I was on the show. And the first thing they said was, well, did you get called down? And I knew if I said no, my airtime was over.
You're done, right.
So I'm like, yeah, they called me down. And so they're like, oh my gosh, well, what happened? I'm like, oh, well, I made it to contestants row, but I never made it up on stage because I didn't bid very well. And they're like, well, what was your parting gift? And I'm like, oh, it was a lamp. Like, I'm just, I am spitting out answers way better than I should be for the lie I'm telling. And they said, well, do you have it on tape? And I said, no, because there was a big storm that day and my segment, you know, when the storm came through, the meteorologist cut to them. And, you know, this was before TiVo, before the internet. And so when I got off the show that day, I had even friends that were like, I didn't know that you made it on stage. I'm like, I told you that.
Oh, gosh.
I will give you hustle points
going.
For thinking quick on your feet.
Oh, yeah. I'm terribly good at it. So there is lie number one. So now we're going to move on to lie number two.
A scooter, a woman named Karen, an answer key. What do these things have in common? When in the wrong hands, they are all instruments of chaos. I'm here to present the award for excellence in questionable behavior. The first nominee is Lisa Bernardo for...
I think this lady was real.
I don't think so. There was a camera right in her face.
Whenever shopping at her favorite store, Lisa always requests a motorized scooter. Lisa is perfectly capable of walking. She just likes riding around on a motorized scooter. Here is a video sent in by her best friend of her in action. Congratulations.
Our second nominee is our camera operator, Bobby Del Russo.
for three times.
At this point, I still think my segment is over.
Sure.
I think I'm done. I mean, I could be picking my nose at this point because I'm like, okay, funny thing, I got to be on the show. Now this is over. As some of our other nominees. Now notice they're talking about a girl named Karen.
Different women at the same time. He made sure they were all named Karen in order to keep their names straight.
Yes.
David,
our final nominee for excellence in questionable behavior is Karen Mano.
No, it's Kelly Mano.
Kelly.
That's right.
Thank you, Neil.
That's right.
Kelly Mano for education. Is key.
So you have to know now that it's
that's
it's
right. On. When Kelly yeah. was a high school senior,
you know you're getting
she
it.
Needed an A on yes. her English final yes. in order to graduate. She got that A, but only because the teacher accidentally handed her the answer key. Kelly used it, aced the test, and went on to graduate high school.
Now would you have legitimately failed your senior year?
Yeah. Yes. Now, see, there's very few people that know this story, and that's why I was so shocked when it came out, because in Granite City High School, there are a couple of classes that are requirements to graduate. One of them is English composition. It doesn't matter if you make straight A's in every other class. If you fail this class, you don't graduate. The other is square dancing.
Oh, no way.
People don't
what
believe.
What is wrong with your town?
Have you ever been to the Walmart in Granite City?
I try to avoid Granite.
It's technically not all square dancing. It's a class called senior dance. And when I was in high school, you had to take it to graduate. It was a requirement. And we learned a square dance, a foxtrot, a waltz, a couple. So when I tell people that I had a square dance to graduate, they don't believe me.
So what That's you're saying is that the stereotypes about Granite are true.
I don't know if they still do it or not. But hand to heaven, as a 1996 graduate of Granite City High School, I had to take senior dance to graduate and learn how to do the barn dance. Swing your barn. Round and round, dancing, no, the ground.
Listen to me, all right? Wow. Listen to what I'm going to tell you, all right? I'm from North County, so I have no room to, like, you know. I'm,
sure, no, I get
okay.
it.
Okay, me, you, and Gary, all right? We're going to drink some Wild Turkey, and then we're going to go into the Granite City Walmart.
Let's go.
And you're going to have, like, this crazy mind F
Even
happen.
Even people in Granite City don't go to
it's
that
like
Granite
a vision
City
quest?
Walmart.
What's that?
Is it like a vision quest, yes. but of like the redneck style?
So senior, whatever that the senior English class is. So I had the hardest teacher in the school. I'm not going to say her name. We'll call her Mrs. Smith because I don't think she wants to be identified. But, you know, this was the teacher. She was seasoned, man. She right. had been at that school 30 or 40 years. She took no crap. She was hard-nosed. She was strict. And oh my God, was she good for a student like me? You know, when I had her, I'm like, oh my God, this is terrible. She's so strict. And it's so hard. But looking back, I needed teachers like her to step on my neck and make me do stuff. Mm-hmm. Because other teachers would leave the room, I would change my grade in their grade book.
Right.
I would offer the kid next to me, I'm like, hey, I got a ding dong on my lunch if you tell me what number five is. Like I was hustling ding dongs and, you know. You couldn't do that kind of stuff with her. But she believed in you. She still, like, she never gave up on even, like, delinquents like me. And so here came our senior final, which was comprehensive of everything we'd gone over the entire year. And I'm making an F in the class. And I remember the night before thinking, how am I going to tell my mom and dad that I'm not going to graduate high school? All my other grades were, you know, I was like a B, C student. I hated school. And to this day, I compare trying to make a creative little ball of energy like me sit down and learn trigonometry and social studies like taking Albert Einstein and making him play soccer all season. You know, it just,
right.
it didn't work. I didn't like school. I didn't want to be a bad kid.
Are you comparing yourself to Einstein?
No, not even close. Not even close. And so I'm sitting there in class and I'm just sweating because I'm like, all I could think about was how I wasn't going to graduate high school with all my friends. And here comes Mrs. Smith up and down the aisle and she's handing out the test and she drops mine on my desk. And in bright red pen at the top, it says the word key, where the word name would be. And I'm looking at this and I'm like, she just handed me the answer key.
You lucky dog.
Now let's play devil's advocate.
Yes.
Do you think that there is a chance
that she did it on
purpose.
She
took care of you.
No.
I thought that at first. As a matter of fact, I stopped, and before I did anything, I watched every move she made to see if she looked at me, acknowledged me, or anything like that. And she went and sat down at my desk, and I thought, this is a sign from the Lord above.
Yeah.
He has given me the answers to my English test.
So how did you get the key back to her?
Here's what
without her knowing?
Okay. See, now Kelly Sumter was a very, very, very smart girl. So what I did was I took all of the answers. It was an English test, so there was a lot of multiple choice, but there was also some writing involved. And so I took my pencil, and I wrote all of the answers down on the actual desk. And then I raised my hand, and I said, Mrs. Smith, I've messed up my test. Can I please have another one? I said, I've scratched it out so much that I don't even know where to begin. And she's like, sure, throw it away and give me it. So I walked up, threw away the answer key, took my new test, went back to my desk and filled it all out. Got an A on the final. And it gave me like a C in the class.
But it's still like, how does she not realize her key's gone?
Oh, right.
And sure. Then not dig it out of the trash and realize
that's the ballsy
Kelly
part.
Had the answers.
And realize
that's the ballsy part. I'm like, how do you throw that teacher, in the trash can?
If I'm a teacher who's that smart and my student who's been failing all year nails the final. And my answer key is missing.
You know what? It's because she was such a good teacher that
I think
you think she slipped it to me?
I think you might have gotten hooked.
First
up
of all, I know she didn't slip it to me because
it's the Kelly luck.
It's the Kelly man of luck. I've had it my whole life.
It's your luck.
And I know that she didn't do it on purpose because they tried to get her to come on the show.
That's why she wouldn't go on if she did it on purpose.
It's the guilt.
I don't.
No, that ruins your credibility as a teacher.
She said that she did not want to condone cheating. Now, keep in mind, this was 19 years ago and she just found out about it and she's still upset about it. She's probably one of the best teachers our school district ever had. And so, you know, her reputation, I mean, people were scared to have her, but it was like a respectful scared, you right. know? And I ended up going to college with her daughter and got really drunk one night at a frat party and told her everything. I'm like, your mom accidentally gave me the wrong test. And like, that was the first person I ever told. Wow. So
then there's no way that she just found out about it. Cause you know, her daughter was like,
I don't
mom,
know.
You were dumb. My mom's a teacher. If someone told me that teacher about my mom, I would have been calling her and been like, you're stupid.
Okay. So segment one, lying about, what was my first lie?
Price is Right.
Oh, yeah. Guilty as charged. Second two, lying about my senior final. Guilty as charged.
I don't think that's a lie. I think that is being opportunistic and taking what you got.
Listen, it's not a lie if it helps you get ahead. All right?
It's
I call
not
that hustling.
You didn't actively do
I
anything.
I call that hustling.
You didn't, but you didn't actively do it. Like, Price is Right.
I hustled.
You perpetrated the lie.
Yes.
This, you had a pop fly hit to you and you just caught it. That's all it was. That's
it was like
flying.
A Hail Mary. I really thought, like, God? Are you talking to me? Did you send me this answer key? Thank you, sweet 8-pound baby Jesus. I'm gonna graduate.
For real.
So yes, I hope that my old high school teacher is not losing sleep over this because it certainly was not the only test I ever cheated on. It was just the biggest one. And I passed square dancing.
There you go.
That's all right. Important.
By Granite City standards,
you don't
you're
need to
clean.
Know how to write as long as you can dozy do.
I'm serious. Aisle
round, dick around, dip into the ground.
Aisle 14, no Granite City Walmart. People will just break out and square dance.
Going.
Yes.
The first time I took Jimmy to a Granite City Walmart, he saw a boob.
Yeah, listen, the first time I went
not
to
the kind you want
no.
to see.
No, not the kind you want to see. A Harley Davidson
boob. Yeah. So this lady in front of us is checking out, and she's wearing her husband's Harley Davidson
tank top. It
wasn't
her husband's.
Well, and it was like a muscle tank. It was like cut out on the sides.
And there's no muscles under the tank? No,
she like bent down to get something out of the bottom of her car.
Oh, no.
And you saw the whole flippy floppy boob with the big like pepperoni nipple. And it's like flapping in the Walmart breeze.
Like tennis balls on the tube sock.
And Jimmy and I had been dating like for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
He goes in the Granite City Walmart one time and sees a boob.
But she's all toothless. And yeah, it was
of
just.
Of course
it,
she
it,
is.
It was not.
Stop
awesome.
It.
Now listen, I love Granite City.
Thank you. You better stop it because that they are number two in
no.
listeners to this show is
no,
Granite
no,
City,
no,
Illinois.
No. Let me be very clear.
I will get up and do the school song right now.
Let me be very clear. I love Granite City. I love all the people I know in Granite City. The Granite City Walmart is like stepping into the Twilight Zone. Yeah. That is all I'm saying. It is a different breed.
All right, we are going to be right back with the third light. It is the Kelly Mano Radio Show.
Ooh, I didn't mean to turn that on myself.
I like the way she doing that.
Come on.
Plus, I like it when she bring it back.
Say it.
Ooh, 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 what you do.
The Kelly Mano Show. The older she gets, the more she understands Britney's 2007 meltdown.
Back once again, once again.
It's the Kelly Mano Show.
Yeah. Can you feel it, baby? I get two, two.
Swing it. All right, you are listening to the Kelly Mano Radio Show, and we are on to my final lie of the evening that was aired last night on NBC's Best Time Ever. I guess it was technically a best time for all of you who watched it. Not necessarily the best time ever for somebody who thought they were going to get serenaded by the Backstreet Boys.
Right.
Like, well, you did. But, no. You know, in an audience.
Yeah, truly, you were like 10 feet away from them, so
yeah,
that wasn't too
awful. You got a concert.
Stop it, all of you. You're supposed to be on my side.
Sorry.
So, again, you know, I'm in the audience now. So here comes my final lie. I'm going to go ahead and play it for you guys first, and then I'm going to defend myself.
Yeah. For the final Please. Award of the evening, the Lie Time Achievement Award. Tonight's recipient is a woman whose tall tales are only limited by her imagination and the gullibility of her friends and family. I speak, of course, of Kelly Mano. Is Kelly being given this honor for the countless falsehoods
she's told over her lifetime? There's my peace sign duck face for the girls.
20 no, seconds.
This is for her Kwan period. While attending an ice skating camp in Lake Arrowhead, California, Kelly was able to get an autographed photo from her idol, champion figure skater, Michelle Kwan. Kelly then claimed the two were best friends and even went so far as to forge Michelle's signature on a stack of photos for her friends. Then, in an effort to perpetuate the Michelle Kwan charade, Kelly took a picture of herself with this girl.
Random Asian.
I don't know, but I wonder if she saw herself on TV last night.
You don't know that girl.
Well, I think her name was Amy or something.
Okay. Is it somebody at the camp?
Yeah. I'm like, well,
oh, here's where I'm getting beaten like a government mule.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you your 2015 Best Time Ever Lie Time Achievement Award honoree, Miss Kelly Mano.
I love how they shot it like a real award show with like the multiple camera angles. And now this is when I really, really got shocked. I'm asking about the Backstreet Boys. I'm starting to realize that they're not for me.
Here comes Michelle Kwan.
You've got to understand, Michelle was like my idol growing up in figure skating.
This well-deserved award to my best friend.
Oh my gosh, you're amazing!
And here's a real picture of us.
Nice, look at that. Hey, thanks June Peterson for the Photoshop work.
And then a stamp of my signature so you can hand out all the signatures.
I've got it, I've got it.
It really is her signature.
Thanks, Michelle. Oh, wait.
Oh, they're going to show it.
Is this real life?
I think, yeah, this is real life. Scroll back,
there you
scroll
go,
back,
boss.
Because I think it is time for you to give your acceptance speech. No, we're not. Okay.
They really did have an acceptance speech for her, but there was not enough time. She was going
to
read it from the prompter.
For being super awesome to Italy. How about that?
I go, no!
Your family, five amazing nights at Jimmy's.
Now I'm mad at Jimmy.
Thanks so much for playing along.
What, did you think he picked the place to go?
Yes.
That you're here. Okay, I hope you had it. That was, that includes the best time ever award.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah, I'm extremely happy right there.
He's so happy.
Because I'm so mad at that point.
Now, here's the thing. The Italy thing came up because when we were auditioning for the game show originally,
you had the whole Italian mob thing going on.
Well, yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, and in fact, they even one of the questions on that 20-page questionnaire is, "Where's like your dream vacation and all this stuff?"
And then Jimmy answered Italy, and then he had me go on a show and look like the a-hole, and then he still got his dream trip, and then the Backstreet Boys left and didn't even say hi to me. I'm not going to get... Oh, okay, so I get this trip to Italy. And while we are... First of all, I didn't know that he said my whole family. I thought that he meant just me and Jimmy.
Got it. Oh, okay? So the kids get to go.
The kids are going.
That's awesome.
So let me tell you that now I am just elated. Okay. We've been like Googling like Palermo beaches and the kids are excited. So I could not be more happy with this prize. At the time, I thought... Okay, they're secretly giving me a trip to Italy, and then they're going to let me trade it in to meet the Backstreet Boys and go on their cruise. Money. Yeah, because in all of my interviews, I'm like, I don't like to travel internationally, and I don't like to leave my kids, and I'm a terrible flyer.
I remember on your interview form, you said, where would your dream vacation be? And you said, my couch.
Yes. No, I don't travel. I'm not a traveler. I don't care. I could live my whole life and not see all the fun stuff. I don't care.
But that's because you haven't seen it.
If they would let you trade in your trip for the Backstreet Boys cruise, would you do it?
No, I asked them. I asked them backstage and they wouldn't let me. See, when I walk up on stage, I'm still thinking this is all a big secret to let me meet the Backstreet Boys, and Nick is going to come out and serenade me.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, Neil Patrick Harris ends the show with his end of the show, and I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, I really didn't get to see the Backstreet Boys. And so as soon as the show is over, we get whisked backstage by a producer. Right. And I'm like, where's the Backstreet Boys? And she's like, somebody will go get them for you. Some, you know, but you know, well, hang on. We didn't talk about the Michelle Kwan thing. Okay. Remind me to go back to the Backstreet Boys. So the Michelle Kwan thing, I did train in Lake Arrowhead, California as a figure skater. Michelle Kwan was there. She was my friend, and I did have a picture of her. However, the picture that I had with her, I have a double chin and a big zit and really bad hair. And I was too embarrassed to show the picture to anybody. So I took a picture with another Chinese girl, and it was kind of blurry. And I told everybody, here's Michelle Kwan. Now, at the same time, Michelle Kwan did give me an autograph. But since we were friends, I thought it would be weird to ask her for autographs for all my friends. But it was so, I mean, that was the thing back then, was to get autographs. So I practiced her signature and stole a stack of her postcards. And then I forged it and gave those to all my friends.
Gave or sold?
I didn't sell them. I gave them to them. And as a matter of fact, Jimmy, what did Michelle Kwan say the minute she walked backstage?
Yeah, she went backstage, went right up to Kelly. She was so excited. She was like, oh my God, I totally remember you. Oh,
I have been so redeemed. Great. Well, you know, she said, she's like, I didn't get to see the picture of who this person was till I got here on the show. And they showed me the picture backstage, and she's like, oh my God, I know her. But so it was true that I did give out her fake autographs, and I did pass off a fake picture as her, but it was just because I looked so terrible in the real picture.
Yeah, and the producers actually saw the real picture of Kelly with the real Michelle.
Oh, they did?
Well, yeah, because I gave them your entire scrapbook and I included that.
Yeah.
But the thing that was funny is, in Kelly's scrapbook from her trip to California, it says me and Michelle, and it's clearly this other random Asian girl.
Oh, I would have been so much better if they were next to each other. It was like me and Michelle, me and fake Michelle.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder
what you have to do now.
That girl, I'm pretty sure she was American. I mean, obviously she's Asian descent, but I'm pretty sure that girl was American. So I wonder if she was like watching TV last night and, you know, saw her photo on TV at skate camp and was like, hey, what the hell is going on here?
Awesome.
And so anyway, so you know, the show ends and they give us a trip to Italy, which was really, really cool. And I'm still thinking, like, this is not over. The Backstreet Boys are gonna come out and surprise me because I love them. I mean, I am in the audience crying when they came out, you know, and I'm like, oh, they probably have a camera on me and they're getting me crying. And
again, that Italy trip didn't really hit you like it hit somebody else.
I was like, whatever, who cares?
Great, yeah.
I thought they were joking.
And you're still hoping to cash it in from probably some money or something else.
Trust me, I was hustling backstage.
Yeah.
So we go backstage and the show is over and I get to meet all these producers who were amazing and worked so hard on this awesome surprise, because you have to be really talented to pull something over on me. And like I said, when I turned on my phone, whenever I got done with the show, there was all kinds of messages. And then there were even people on Twitter talking about me that I didn't know about. And Gary printed some of them out. So Gary, what were the people of Twitter saying about my performance on NBC's Best Show Ever?
Well, let's see. Kathy Mazzocco at KJM Loves Kids says Kelly Mantle for president.
Woo-hoo!
Heck, I'd vote for you.
She loves kids.
Matt Carlucci said Kelly Mantle is a monster.
Really? Okay. Yeah.
I don't know how to really take that, but yeah. Mo Fogarty said Kelly Mantle was adorable in all capital letters.
Thanks, Mo.
And Terry Sweden says Michelle Kwan, I hope that wasn't your real signature stamp. That lady can't be trusted. you might end up taking out a loan without your knowledge. Ha ha. Now, the best thing,
yes.
and I actually read this too.
Yeah.
The ratings for best time ever with Neil Patrick Harris for last night's show.
For the Mano episode.
The Mano episode jumped 18% from last week's episode. It's their best ratings in four outings in the 8 p.m. Eastern time slot.
Dude, wow. The Mano's equal rating bonanza.
There you go.
I would love to see like a map or a chart of exactly like who was listening where, because I bet St. Louis was kind of a
Granite City huge saturation.
Do you think the Granite City Walmart had me on in their TV section?
Yes.
like the wall of 36 TVs
and all the toothless women in their Harley Davidson shirts.
Okay. When you send in your hate mail for that at heykelly@kellymantle.com, just put I hate Jim Mano in the title so that he gets all the Granite City hate mail.
I love Granite City.
And so the show ended. It was a really, 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 really great time. And did you guys notice what I stole up above my desk?
The sign?
Yes.
I was wondering.
Best steal ever.
I saw the picture of you with it before you said you stole it.
So
my first thought was like, why didn't you get like NPH to sign?
Well, because I had to hide it under my black leather jacket. In my
that
picture,
sign is taller than you.
I know, but listen, they didn't bring me a Backstreet Boy, so I stole the sign. So it was getting towards the end of the night, and no, the cast party's back there, and I'm getting my photo with Michelle Kwan and with Nicole Scherzinger and Neil Patrick Harris, and all these producers are coming up to. They're like, Kelly Mantle, we love you. We've been studying your family for so long. I'm like, find me a Backstreet Boy now.
She's not exaggerating
no,
at all.
Like,
really?
Like, yes. And so I finally told Scott. The producer that you like so much, I said, Scott, find me a Backstreet Boy or I'm taking the sign. And he's like, okay. So he left in search of the Backstreet Boys. Woo!
Blues came
wins!
Back. Huge come from behind
Who
victory.
Tarasenko.
Russian Jesus.
Russian Jesus.
Little 8-pound Russian Jesus.
And so that's why I like you. So sweet Scott comes back and he's like, Kelly, and he looked like he was like telling me that my puppy dog had died. He's like, the Backstreet Boys have left. And it went from like sadness to anger. I'm like, you know what? Screw them. Nick wasn't there anyway, and he carries the band. They can kiss it, you know, because they knew I was a big fan of them. Why didn't they wait for me?
I don't know.
I can't believe that they were that close and I did not get to meet them. So I stole the sign.
And you employed your theology of hustle.
Yeah.
And stole the sign.
And at one point, Jimmy's like, Kelly, put it back. Kelly, put it back. I'm like, no, I'm not putting it back. Just stop saying it.
You seriously couldn't sneak it out, though. So how did, I mean, you just had.
I put my leather jacket over the top half of it, but the bottom half was hanging out. And then as we were leaving, all of these stagehands were like looking at me. I'm like, they said I could have it. And I just walked right by them all. And got in my car, went back to the hotel because NBC took care of everything. Car service, hotel, dinner. I mean, they put us up. I mean, they treated us like a king and a queen. We had so much fun. I'm so excited to go to Italy. I'm so excited that the original producer, casting director, like Zach, like he was the first one that said, hey, somebody put this girl on television.
No kidding.
I wouldn't be surprised if you guys in some way, shape, or form, and more than just you, end up on another show.
Yeah.
With as much dirt as they have, and not even if it's not a show like this, but like as much as they know like the colorfulness that is you and the family now, I think they know that there's so much that they can do with you guys that it wouldn't surprise me. Like, and maybe not like a reality type thing, because I don't know if you guys would be down for a season.
No, we wouldn't do. Somebody said
you guys are going to end up somewhere somehow doing
something. When we were leaving, one of the producers said, I hope we have a season two because you guys have to come back. And I'm telling you now.
But there's no way they could bring you back and you not know what's up.
No, I'm like, maybe we'd be in on something next season. Listen, NBC, I want Nick Carter in a big red bow.
Swear to God.
I want him on a platter.
If you try to pull some ish on me, you better be real covert about it.
Listen, it took them 6 months to pull this over on me.
Could you... not to do my own horn, but could you imagine the people you could pull in just from a work standpoint, the celebrity aspect?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah.
I will say that it was really fun being on the receiving end of a huge surprise,
even if
it was, like, crazy embarrassing and,
But it's all good fun.
Oh, my gosh, it's in great
fun. And
it's
not they were like, Kelly has evaded taxes for 9 years and owes the IRS $1.3 million.
She kind of has, but that's another episode.
Oh, my God,
it's fine.
Don't worry. He already told the producers all about it. They've got all the backstory.
Oh, God. When we were leaving and saying goodbye to Neil Patrick Harris, and he was telling us how much dirt he had on me.
Did he share anything that didn't make air?
No, but what he did say was that he said, I got so nervous in the dress rehearsal. He said, we did the dress rehearsal this afternoon, and when I was reading all these zingers I was supposed to say about you, I was just picturing this girl not handling it well and us looking like jerks.
Sure.
He's like, you have no idea how much you made the show by having fun with it.
I agree.
Fantastic.
I mean, a show like that and the concept where you're exposing dirt, if you don't have someone who can roll with the punches, that can go real bad real quick.
That's pretty much exactly what he said. I mean, he was so sweet. I mean, he looked me right in the eyes, and he was exhausted. He had such a long show.
And that's probably why your interview process was so extensive.
Yeah.
Was they needed to make sure that you're the type of person who can roll with the punches and take a punch and get back up.
Because
if you have someone who's like a frail, delicate little flower,
a little
and
weak
you start
duck.
Like... pulling the layers back on that onion, you're like, this person did this and this, and they break down, and it's live TV.
Yeah.
It's just ugly.
You can't save that.
You can't work in radio and not have really thick skin.
Oh,
right.
No.
I've got to say that that's something that I'm really proud of myself with, is that
Absolutely.
I really do have thick skin. So everything was a lot of fun. The producers were great. It was fun to be on this end of it. So thank you to my husband. Because I know he did a lot
of
work.
Awesome.
He did a ton of work. Mm-hmm.
Thank you to Donna, who I knew did a ton of work as well.
I loved it.
Everybody else who was a part of it. My teacher, who is probably still losing sleep over me, over her giving me that answer key. Michelle Kwan, all the producers.
You know that was the talk of Granite High School today.
Heck yeah. Bob Barker. I want to thank everybody.
Bob effing Barker. Knows your name.
Holding your picture, saying how pretty you are.
Oh, he did. Why would the Backstreet Boys do that?
And Neil Patrick Harris. I mean, Neil took us outside and talked to us for 15 minutes, just the three of us, and he could not have been a nicer dude.
He seems like a very genuinely good guy.
Yeah, he really is.
And his husband was there, and he's just a real family guy, and I couldn't see a better guy succeed. So if you missed the show, I guess NBC's got the whole thing up.
I meant to ask you one question that had nothing to do with your segment of the show.
Yes.
How much were you enraged at the one family during the sing-along who was oblivious to what was going on?
I don't think it was their fault, but I wish they would have cut to me.
Honestly, when that happened, I thought for sure they were going to pass that off as a Skype issue and then go to the crowd and have Kelly
and
finish
someone.
The line.
Yeah.
Because she's a huge Backstreet Boy fan, and they knew that. They had interviewed me about your Backstreet Boy
Instead,
obsession.
Instead,
so.
They dangled the Backstreet Boys in front of me like a
and
carrot
whisked
to a donkey.
Away.
And then they pulled it away.
If it's a Skype issue,
yeah.
If the show's live, they're obviously watching. They're not watching a camera. They're watching TV.
The show.
Yeah. So they should know that they're on TV because they would see themselves.
I don't know what happened.
I am wondering if that family... the guy, if that wasn't also a plant. Because to be that oblivious for that length of time.
Right.
But I don't know.
Even if there's a 7-second delay, they were on them for longer than 7 seconds.
Was it the guy that was the one who was supposed to sing?
The guy who was supposed to be the contestant.
Yeah, and he just looked clueless. His wife looked clueless. The whole
at one point, the wife gets up and leaves
She's
the room.
She's texting and looking at her phone.
Yeah, it was obviously a problem not on their end. The contestant's end. It just, it's live television. Anything could happen. I could have broke down in tears and left the show.
Yeah.
I should have done that just to screw with them. All right. Well, thank you guys for coming in and doing the emergency show with me. It was a lot of fun, and I'm sure my kids will have a lot to talk about at school for the next couple days, and then everything will die down and go back to normal until the next Mano fiasco.
Hashtag MWM.
What does that mean?
Media Whore Manos.
Media Whore Manos. Woo! At least we got on the real TV today and not just the local news like we usually do.
When are you on Show Me St. Louis, by the way?
I don't know. They called NBC.
What do you mean local news?
Yeah.
Your husband was on SportsCenter.
Oh,
yeah. Come on, you're catching up to me. I've already been on national TV this year.
All right, thank you guys for coming in. Thank you, Producer Gary. I hope you enjoy your souvenirs from New York. You're the only person I brought souvenirs home for besides my children. I don't know if that's a compliment to you or if that means I lump you in with my children.
Tomato, tomato.
Tomato, yes. Tomato. So we will be back Monday with an all-new normal Kelly Mano Radio Show. Thanks for coming in. Everybody say bye.
Bye.
If you love the show, share the show.
Share the show. KellyMano.com.
We loved her so. Sorry, Mr. President. As far as we know, Norma Jean had a 7-year itch. Sound like it had to a fever pitch. Sandy, Danny, summer love. Ladies, divas, the moon above. That's all in the past. Legends built to last. But she's got. A power girl in a 90s world. She's a downtown swinging dude. Cause the lady is a bum, she's a vixen, not a tramp. She's a da 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 da. Come on, fellas, place your bets, cause you ain't seen nothing yet. She's a talker.